Ephesians 4. Let's look at Ephesians 4 now. Ephesians 4, look with me again at verse 8 and verses 11 and 12. We'll skip that parenthesis. Verse 8, wherefore he saith, Isaiah, or the psalmist, when he ascended up on high, Christ, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Verse 11, he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. He gave gifts. The gift of gospel preachers is the title and the subject tonight. Now we know that salvation is by grace, and it's a gift. The gift of God. Listen to 1 John chapter 5, verse 11. This is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. And this life is where? In his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. And we know that the Son of God has come and hath given us an understanding that we might know him. It is true. Salvation is by grace. It's a gift. 100% a gift. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Right? All these works we're going to hear, the preachers and witnesses, it was God that worketh in them and us to will and do of his good pleasure. God gets all the glory. We're not going to glorify men for doing anything. We're glorifying God in what he does through men and in men. Okay? Salvation is by grace. 2 Corinthians 9:15 says, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift, which is Christ. We just read that. He's given his people life, and that life is in his Son. Salvation is by grace through faith. And even that's a gift, isn't it? Repentance is a gift. Faith is a gift. Faith cometh how? By hearing. Hearing by the word of God. And I love that verse. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. In other words, God gives a word and says, hear. And it's the word that opens our ears in. Remember Emmanuel breaking down the ear gate to get in the town of Mansa? Faith cometh by hearing the gospel. Our Lord said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Well, how shall they believe in him who have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? Without a preacher. And Paul quoted, I was thinking about reading Isaiah 52, but Hebrews 11 struck me. But Paul quoted this after he said that, how shall they hear without a preacher? And he went on to say, how beautiful on the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace. Where is that peace? In Christ. Christ, he's our peace. That bringeth good tidings. That's the gospel of good. That publisheth salvation. That saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth. And your God came. His name is Jesus Christ. So how shall they hear without a preacher? And here it says in our text that when Christ ascended up on high, when he left this earth, he gave gifts to men. And those gifts were in the form of apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. That's what he said. He said to his preachers, go into all the world and preach the gospel, didn't he? Okay? He said, my sheep will hear my voice. But wait a minute. He went back and sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, didn't he? He left the earth. But he said, concerning his preachers, if they hear you, they're going to hear me. Didn't he? That's what he said. So, this is a miracle and it's a gift. If they hear you, they're going to If they hear from me, they're going to hear you. Thank God for gospel preachers. Thank God he sent me, us, a preacher, right, Tammy Joe? Ah, boy, did we have a preacher. And I say gospel preacher. I qualify that. I title it Gift of Gospel Preachers, because every so-called preacher is not a gospel preacher. There are more false preachers than our true preachers. Always been the case. Thanks be unto God if he sent you a true gospel preacher. He sent me one. And that's how I heard God's word. That's how God revealed himself to me. Revealed Christ in me. That's how. And it's the way he reveals himself to every single person. Every elect of God. All right? Now I'm going to give you a short church history lesson. Okay? The facts may not be perfect. I'm no scholar. It's just a little bit I've read here and there. It may not be in chronological order. Nevertheless, it'll be a blessing to you. But these are some men that we need to know. These are some men you need to know. You need to know something about them. Be thankful to our Lord for such men. We have churches now. We have the Bible. I urged you to, you know, to watch that story of William Tyndale. Were you glad you did? I was so glad. We want to watch it again. My. We owe a debt to men. Paul said that. Owe no man anything but to love him. Render honor to whom honor is due. Right? Tribute. And God did. God does in Hebrews 11. He paid tribute to thee. He honored those for whom he died, those whom he loved. They died for him. He honors them. I love the story of Stephen, the first martyr, Stephen. Don't you love that story in Acts 7? Where Stephen was preaching the truth against all those. He was the only one, the only man standing up believing the truth. And they all hated it. And he was preaching all from. He preached the whole Bible, didn't he? And he said, that one that you rejected, God has made Lord, like Simon Peter at Pentecost. And they all with one accord got mad and gnashed their teeth and they picked up stones and started stoning him. And as he was being stoned, as he was dying, the rocks of stone raining down on his head, he said, I see the Son of God standing. The Lord Jesus Christ, who went back and sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high in honor of his martyr who was dying for his cause, stood up. And I stand up for this man, Stephen. I'm Brother Stephen. There sits another one. Wouldn't it be an honor to die like that, Stephen? We may be called on to. So, these are some men, not women, because and there were many women. You read with me of Rahab and others, women that were tortured. There were many women throughout church history that were used of the Lord, not to preach, mind you. Women are not supposed to preach, okay? But they were witnesses. They were supporters of the gospel. There's a woman named the Lady Huntington, the Countess of Huntington. She heard the gospel from George Whitefield. And boy, did she hear the gospel. And she devoted her life to supporting the gospel. She was a noble woman. She earned pretty good money. She devoted every penny or shilling that she got to the preaching of the gospel. She had chapels built. She had a church in her home, had preachers in her home. William Romaine. That woman did. That's my sister, and I want to honor her. But this is devoted preachers of the gospel, okay? Some men we need to know. Called, sent, the Lord gave to his church for preaching, and we'll see the perfecting or growth in grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our Lord said in Jeremiah 3, I will give you pastors after my own heart. And they will feed you knowledge. What knowledge? Church history? His story. Because that's where the story starts. And the church, the history of the church is his story. And the Acts of the Apostles, I don't particularly like the name given to that book. It's the Acts of the Lord through the Apostles. Right? But these men will teach you knowledge, the knowledge of the living and true God and Jesus Christ whom he sent. Every one of them, these men I mentioned, preached Christ. Okay? Different men. John read in 1 Corinthians 12 as in other places that there are different ministries, but the same Lord sent them all. The same message. They all preached the same message. That's how you know they were sent by God. They preached Christ. They all had the same message. Different ministries like prophets and apostles, but it was the same gospel. Same purpose. Preach the gospel. Faith. People might believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and grow in that faith. All right? Verse 11. Begins with apostles. Now, why does he begin with apostles, not prophets? Now, look at 1 Peter chapter 1. With me. 1 Peter chapter 1, real quickly. The apostle, all these men were used greatly, but perhaps I can say this in truth, that the apostles were used more than any other men in the Scripture. Okay? And I'll show you this. First Peter 1, verse 10. Peter is writing. Now, you know that God did this, but Simon Peter was just a fisherman. He's a longshoreman. Cussing sailor. That's what he was when the Lord found him. He didn't know God. He didn't know one word in the Bible. But God. This is how you know God did this. He took men like this and made them to where doctors and lawyers couldn't withstand their wisdom. Said of Stephen, they could not withstand the spirit and the wisdom by which he spoke. Who was Stephen? A nobody. The First Peter 1:10, he says, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. He's talking about Christ coming to us, searching, they searched what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ in them did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ. That's what they preached. The glory that should follow, but unto whom it was revealed, not to them, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. So, and Paul said this in Ephesians 3. Go back to our text now. So the apostles are mentioned first because the prophets, they knew, they testified of Christ to come. They didn't know who he was. They didn't know when he would come. Okay? He's going to be Bethlehem, born there. Grow up, come out of Egypt and Nazarene. They knew that, but they didn't know who he was. They were waiting on the Christ. Okay, so Moses, Scripture says, wrote of me. That's what Christ said. Moses was a prophet. Moses said this, a prophet shall the Lord raise up unto you like me, he said. And then John came along and said this. John the apostle said, he's here. His name is Jesus of Nazareth. That's who he is. And the three apostles saw Moses. You remember? James, Peter, James, and John. They saw Moses and Elijah. And they met, and they came, and they saw Christ, Moses and Elijah. They didn't see him before. And now they know. This is Jesus. There he is in the flesh. There he is. Isaiah wrote, a virgin shall conceive, and call his name Emmanuel. Well, Matthew said, it's her name's Mary. And she's from Bethlehem, of the house of Judah. That's who she is. That's who that virgin is. Isaiah said, a child is born, a son is given. Matthew said, his name is Jesus of Nazareth. That's who he is. So the apostles are I mentioned first, not by degree of importance, but just simply because we know the whole story through the apostle. These apostles now were extraordinarily gifted men. They were sent by our Lord to preach Christ before there were Bibles. Here's the three things that qualify an apostle. Okay, three things. And there are no more apostles. No more apostles. Number one, they had to see Jesus Christ in the flesh. Okay? You say, what about Paul? He said, I saw him, remember, on the road to Damascus. They had to be sent by the Lord. The Lord had to personally call them and send them. Every one of them. Okay? And then thirdly, they were given gifts unlike any other men ever before or since. There are no more apostles. In fact, the Lord commended the church, where was it? The church in Ephesus. He said, you've tried those that say they're apostles and are not. And today there are men that call themselves apostles. You know that? Right down here on 220, there's a parking space on the corner of one of these false churches called Apostolic Corner. That's where, I guess, the apostles park their cars. They're liars. There are no apostles today. There were 12. There are a few more, actually. Barnabas. But those 12, counting Paul, the Lord used to write his word. These men wrote the Bible. And we believe, we're sure that the epistles were not the words of men, but in truth, the word of God, don't we? We do. You know how few people believe that? Especially a lot of women. They don't like what Paul said about women and preaching and all that. They don't like it, so they twist it and corrupt it. No, we believe every word that they wrote was the word of God, don't you? That's because Christ revealed himself to you through these men, through these apostles, okay? Through their word. And we believe. Thank God for Simon Peter. Don't you love Simon Peter? I look forward to meeting that man. The amazing thing is he looks forward to meeting you. Simon Peter. Oh, I love Simon Peter. James and John. All the apostles. I look forward. And every one of them but John were killed. Like our Lord said of the prophets, which of the prophets did you not kill? We owe a debt to these men, don't we? We owe a debt. Our Lord honors them, and we do too. And in honoring them, we honor him who made men the way he did and worked through them. Okay? Prophets. Now, prophets. The prophets were before Christ. John was the last of the Old Testament prophets. That's what Christ said, didn't he? The law and the prophet were preached until John, the kingdom of heaven is preached, and men press into it. These were men, prophets, sent, called to declare. This was their message, every one of them. Someone's coming. That's what Moses wrote of me, he said. What did he say? There's a prophet coming, like me. He's the one you're going to hear. He has the word of God. He is the word of God. Prophets, they preach someone's coming, the Holy One of Israel. Prophets, they foretold future events. What future event? Christ. The coming of Christ, his great salvation, the suffering of Christ. They prophesied of him, who was, who is. I mean, then. Was and is, and is yet to come. That's who they preached. To him give all the prophets witness. The testimony of Jesus, the gospel of Jesus Christ, is the spirit, the heart, the soul of all prophecy. Reject any and all of these so-called prophecy seminars if they don't preach Christ from them. Those fellas don't know the prophets. And so we had men sent like Moses, Samuel, Elijah, Elisha, Isaiah, Jeremiah. There's a prophet, there's some prophets that you don't know much about. You need to. There's a man named Micaiah over in 2 Chronicles 18. If you want me to preach on him, I'd just be tickled to death to do it. His story, preaching before Ahab and Jehoshaphat, remember? If you want me to preach on it, I'll do it. Micaiah. Okay, what a wonder. They're unknown prophets. You remember the prophet that was over in 1 Kings 13, the prophet that prophesied against Jeroboam and all that idolatry? We don't even know his name. Well, God honored him. We know his name. Then you have Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, and Micah. Could you finish this, Emma? Olivia, could you finish this book? I'm glad. You adults need to learn these books of the Bible. These men that preached it. Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi. Aren't you thankful for all these men? Thankful, thankful, thankful. So thankful. Gifted, given the word of God to preach to men, and they all preached Christ, the gift of God, didn't they? Grace of God, the gospel. They didn't know his name. They didn't know when he was coming. But they preached he was coming. Prophets. Though men, those sinners like us, they were gifts from God to sinners like us. Oh my. And they loved not their lives unto death. That's what in the last book of the Bible God honors them. He said they're worthy. God said that they're worthy. Don't you love the prophets? Thank God for the prophets. Evangelists. Then you have evangelists in verse 11. Evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Prophets were before Christ, evangelists after our Lord. Evangelists are traveling preachers. Traveling preachers, preaching throughout the world. You know, the Lord called 70 evangelists to go out and preach. Remember that? Philip was one of them. Philip was one of them. Boy, what a preacher. The Lord used Philip mightily. I know one man is sure enough glad Philip went out preaching the gospel as an evangelist. He heard the gospel from Philip, the eunuch. He's sure glad. The Lord sent him to preach to one man. Because without how shall they hear without a preacher? And my dad heard an evangelist. His name was Rolf Marner from Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Dad, if you want to hear a good message, my dad preached a message one time on John the Baptist come to town. Boy, he tore up religion. Just tore it up. And in doing so, men were born again, given the gift to preach the gospel and went out preaching like my pastor. My pastor is a result of an evangelist coming to preach the gospel. I'm sure thankful for Rolf Martin. That was what he was called to do. He failed as a pastor. My dad said he was too mean. But he was an evangelist. And so these were traveling preachers like missionaries. Walter Gruber, evangelist. Aren't you thankful? Oh, boy, I'd like to get some of our brethren from Mexico to stand up here now and tell you how thankful they are for Walter Gruber and Cody Gruber and many others. David Brainerd, who was a pastor, who was a missionary to India. What was his name? Huh? No, David Brainerd, the Indians. I mean, India. I forget, anyway. Yeah, anyway, there were so many missionaries sent all over the world. Like I said, the Lord called 70. And they went out in all the world and preached the gospel. That's what they did. First century. Are you still with me? First century until now. In the early church. I'm talking about the first 100 years after Christ's left. In Rome, the church was in Rome. All right? Big church, Rome. That's the letter to the Romans. All right? Before Roman Catholicism, before it corrupted the church in Rome, and that's where all the, that became Babylon. But for the first 100 years or so, there were men whom the Lord raised up. They were men like a man named Clement, a man named Ignatius, Polycarp. Some of you recognize his name. Papias. You never heard his name, maybe. We owe a debt. The Lord used these men. You see, the Lord has not left himself without a witness in every generation. How shall they hear without a preacher? And he had preachers in every generation, okay? And these men were up until about 400 A.D., and in God's providence, like the churches in Thyatira and Philippi and Laodicea and Sardis, those churches, gone. Gone. They served their purpose, and they left. And there's no more gospel there. Do you hear me? And for about 1,000 years, darkness was all over. No Bibles. Very few preachers. About 1,000 years. It's called the Dark Ages. Why? Because the Word of God is light. And there was no people in that Bible. They were in darkness. Okay? But even in the darkness, even in those years of darkness, there were men. That Frenchman's book on the Reformation, I just marvel. Stephen and I have been talking about it. You go back and read a few here and there who would stand up against Roman Catholicism, against error, and preach the gospel. And you would be thrilled to hear their testimony. They preached the gospel just like I did. Just like we did. Here and there. There weren't many, but they were there. Okay. But God left this world in darkness over all the land for about 1,000 years. All right. Then around the 14th century, light began to shine. God, in great mercy, once again caused the light to shine in darkness. And one of the first men called out of darkness by that gospel to go and preach the gospel was a man named John Wycliffe. And I'm going to name to you about a dozen Johns. Reckon why their names were called John. In the providence of God, John the Apostle, John the Baptist, the Evangelist, John Wycliffe. He's called the Morning Star of the Reformation. You know that? He's the first one the Lord raised. And what he did, like Tyndall, was the Lord, he heard the truth from somebody, and he believed that everyone needs to have a Bible. He was in England. And so he began to translate the Bible from Latin, not Hebrew, not Greek, but Latin, okay? And he translated the whole New Testament by himself so that his brothers could have a copy of the Bible. Well, what happened to him? Well, the church in England, so-called, banned him from preaching, kicked him out. Okay? And he translated the whole Old Testament. He died of a stroke. And when he died, the Roman church dug up his bones and burned them. John Wycliffe. Thank God for John Wycliffe. Another man named John. He had a different name, Jan. He's from Czechoslovakia. John Huss. John Huss from Czechoslovakia. Another man from Switzerland. Both of them were killed for preaching the gospel. I love this story. Two men, closely related, brothers in Christ, not blood brothers, but brothers in Christ, who stood up against Catholicism and preached the truth. Nicholas Ridley and Hugh Latimer. burned at stake, burned alive, like we just read in Hebrews 11, for preaching Christ. You don't tell me men don't hate God, don't hate the God of the Bible and hate the truth, hate Christ. There were people burned for preaching the God of the Bible, for preaching the Christ of Scripture. And while they were burning, this was when the light began to go on, okay? Men didn't have Bibles. And while they were being burned at the stake, Hugh Latimer turned to his brother Ridley and said this, his dying words. He said, "Be the man, Brother Ridley. We're going to light a candle in England that nobody's ever going to put out." And we have the gospel because of men like that. That candle was their own bodies. Tyndall, you remember? Dying, he said, "Lord, open the King of England's eyes." Henry VIII. And he did. Henry VIII said, "Print a Bible." Everybody. God answered prayer. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. God heard the prayer of William Tyndale, and you have a Bible. I look forward to meeting that man, William Tyndale. Martin. John Bradford, a man, I could spend a long time on this. There's a man named John Bradford. I was going to read something he wrote on election, but I don't have time. John Knox, Queen Mary, Bloody Mary. John Knox was perhaps the man used most greatly in all the Reformation. Bloody Mary said, "I fear the prayers of John Knox more than all the armies of England." That's what she said. He stood in her face, the Queen of England, who could, like Pilate and Herod and these men, Pharaoh, like Moses with Pharaoh, he stood in her face and denounced Roman Catholicism and denounced everything she was doing right in her face. He died an old man. I say old man, he's only about 55. None of them lived very long. They had hard lives. He was put chained to an oar in a French galley or ship for 19 months. And one of those slave masters, taskmasters, had an idol of the Virgin Mary. Said, "Kiss this." He says he grabbed that idol and threw it in the ocean and said, "Let's see if she can swim." But God preserved his life. John Knox. John Calvin. John Newton. John Bunyan. John Flavel. John Warburton. John Chapman. I'm so grateful. Time would fail. Like Hebrews 11 says, time would fail to tell all the men and preach the gospel. Spurgeon, Robert Murray McShane, Thomas Manton. Oh, my. And in our day, I mentioned Rolf Barnard, A.D. Muse. There were four men. I was telling somebody the other day a story of the first Bible conference in the United States. My dad was determined to have a Bible conference at Pollard Baptist Church, 1954, and he sent out word all over the United States for a long time. Anybody believes Calvinism? That's how I had to put it. Anybody believes Calvinism? Come. Anybody that preaches Calvinism? Come. In the whole United States, four men showed up. Rolf Barnard, A.D. Muse, B.B. Caldwell, and George Fletcher. Four men. 20-some years later, at 13th Street, Dad said, "I'd like to see all the men are pastors of churches now, Grace Churches, stand up." 41 men stood up. 41. The Lord sent the word, and great was the company that published it. Thank God for these men. Walter Groover, Scott Mahan, Richardson, huh? And in our day, Chapman, Edmondson, Stoniker. Thank God for them all. And they're preaching. Preach Christ. Now let's just look real briefly at our text. Okay? That was a very short history of 1900 years or more, 3500. It says he sent these men for one reason, to preach the gospel. Verse 12. For the perfecting of the saint, for the work of the ministry, that is, preaching the gospel, for the edifying, the building up of the body of Christ. What is the body of Christ built on? One foundation, Christ the Lord. Other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid. God laid it. The chief cornerstone, the rock of ages, Jesus Christ the Lord. That's who the whole church is built upon. And that's the foundation of the apostles and the prophets and us, every true preacher, isn't it? That's who we want men to know and stand upon and be found in. And this word perfecting, as you know, we've looked at it too many times, means maturity, to grow in grace and the knowledge of Christ. Verse 13, till we all come into the unity of the faith, that is, one faith, till we all know this one Lord, this one God, this one Christ, this one way, truth, one life. That's why the preachers are sent. The knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now, he's talking about growing up in Christ, be conformed. This is why God predestinated people to be conformed to the image of Christ. Look at verse 14. Give me a few more minutes. These men are sent that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine. Paul one time said this. He said, I want you to be as children in malice. That is, not be full of malice and hate and envy and strife like little kids, you know. But be men and understand it. So I want you to quit yourselves like men. Now, we just read about people that were strong in the faith, didn't we? A babe, a young person in the faith is not, you know, is weak in the faith. We need to grow strong in the faith, don't we? Huh? Strong, valiant for the truth, don't we? Bold for the truth. And do you need to grow in knowledge? Do you need to grow in wisdom? What about love? What about faith? Do you have strong faith? Where does it come from? Hearing the Word of God. The sincere milk of the Word. You may grow thereby. You hear it from me, but you need to read. You need to have your own cow. You know, I'm feeding you the milk. I'm nursing you, as it were, but you need to have your own cow for the rest of the days of the week. Gather your own manna, right? So we need to grow. And it's, so we don't be little children. There's babes. There's young men and old men. We need all of them. And we need to grow up. Little children are easily influenced. Verse 14, that we be not carried about with every wind of doctrine, everything comes along, but grounded and settled in truth. Sleight of men, cunning, craftiness, they lie in wait to deceive. That's what false prophets prey on the weak and the young. You know, they can get professions out of little children. And baptizing them left and right. And we need to be, grow up, don't we? Verse 15, speaking the truth in love. Oh, my. I've been like Peter too often, taking that sword and want to cut people's head off of it. Speak the truth in love. I need to grow in that, don't you? That we might grow up into Him, verse 15, in all things, Christ the head, from whom? He's the one from whom all blessings flow. Didn't he? We're just the body. Without Him, we're dead. All life comes from Christ our head. They're all fitly joined together, compacted, united, by that which every joint supplieth. And John read that, and we read it last time we looked at this, that every part of the body has a part in the body, don't they? And we're all members one of another. And what's the purpose? Why are we members? To exalt the head, and this, the effectual working in the measure of every part, the grace given, that we might make increase. Increase what? Faith. Not childishness. Faith. We might grow up into faith. And that's what we need to do. And the edifying of itself in love. Love to God, love to Christ, His unspeakable gift, and love to the souls of men, love to one another. Okay, stand with me.